All right, so let's talk about this, the gifts of the Spirit. For some of you, you're very familiar with the gifts of the Spirit. Some of you, not so much. I know it is also a part of our infusion course. But I find that people have a lot of questions and there's a lot of confusion about the gifts of the Spirit within the church, the typical church. All right, so, but we believe this is a what we call a Spirit-filled church. If anybody ever asks you what kind of church this is, they're usually asking, is it Baptist? Is it Pentecostal? Is it Methodist? Or whatever that may be. A good answer is we are just a Spirit-filled, Bible-believing church, right? I don't like using labels, but that's a pretty good description, all right? So, but as a Spirit-filled church, we believe and we teach in the working of the Holy Spirit in our individual lives within the framework of the church. Now, the gifts of the Spirit aren't just to be used within the church and the church services, but this is a place where those things can be practiced, so to speak. And but those gifts, God always intended for us to use them as well outside of the church, some more so than others that work really well outside the church. And we said that there are three types of gifts, motivational gifts. These are the gifts that lead others toward a particular style of ministry. And there's various types, like some people are really strong in the area of giving. Some people are really strong in the area of serving, for instance. Some people are just really strong in the area of hospitality. I mean, that's just where they thrive. And there's several others. So those are taught in the infusion course as well. Then there's the what we would call the ministerial leadership gifts. And these are the gifts that equip the church for service. That's your apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. All right? So those are all still with us today. Everything that was in that Bible when Jesus walked this earth and the early church was on this earth, all of that is still available to us. There are some people who teach they're not. Some people believe that they say when the last apostle died, all those gifts disappeared. I absolutely, totally disagree with them. And I've seen those gifts in operation and manifestation all of my life. So I absolutely disagree with them. And I feel sorry for them because of what they're missing out on that could benefit their life and their churches. So some believe that there's only the pastor and the evangelist and the teacher left, but there's no apostles and no prophets. But yet we know scripturally speaking that beyond the original 12 and then the apostle Paul, there were also other apostles in the New Testament that were named. So obviously that continues to be with us today. Now, the manifestational gifts are what we're talking about. And these are the supernatural, everybody say supernatural. They're supernatural gifts that demonstrate the presence and the power of God. And so there are three different sets of those gifts. And again, you can go back and watch the video from 2 weeks ago, Wednesday 2 weeks ago. But the manifestational gifts, this is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it gives us 9 particular ways that the Spirit moves in the lives of believers. And in 1 Corinthians 12, literally the first verse of 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." The fact that the Apostle Paul is saying, I want people to know about these spiritual gifts and why they're in operation. If the gifts were not to be used by the church on an ongoing basis, why would he insist and this become part of the Word of God that he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about them? All right? So these spiritual gifts are vitally important to the church. We're not going to go through and read all of the scripture that we did for time's sake, but I want you to understand that it's very important that we understand that these are the Holy Spirit's gifts. And one of the things that I tried to lay out last time, really lay down in getting some foundation on this, is that the gifts do not belong to us. The gifts belong to the Holy Spirit. We are, the reason I put this picture up here is because there's 9 pipelines there. The reason I put this picture is because we are pipelines that the gifts can flow through, but the gifts do not belong to us. They're not ours. We can never claim them. We can never say that, you know, I have this gift or I have that gift, because I've seen people over the years literally get kind of in spiritual competitions over which gift is the best. I hear people all the time arguing over which gift is the best. Is prophecy better than tongues? And some insist, yes, prophecy is better than tongues. And there, people are getting big arguments over that. So the Bible tells us to eagerly desire the best gifts. What are the best gifts? The best gift is the one that's needed in the moment, right? And God, I am a firm believer that you are not disqualified if the Holy Spirit lives in you. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, every one of these spiritual gifts we're going to talk about can flow through you. Our problem is many times we don't understand how they flow, how they work. Many people are scared of it. And some people, to be honest with you, are just so prideful that they're not going to ever take a chance to step out and possibly miss it because they don't want to look like a fool in front of anybody. Well, I want to tell you, when it comes to the spiritual things, if you're not willing to step out and risk it, you will never be used in a supernatural way. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, wants us to live in a supernatural way. He wants His supernatural gifts flowing through His people, through His church. So, again, all those gifts are vitally important to the church. They all have a reason. God gave it to us for a reason, all of them. They're all valuable, and they all make a huge difference. Now, we said there's the speaking gifts. That's tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And then there's the knowing gifts. This is like knowing that it's supernatural. You wouldn't know it if the Holy Spirit didn't show it to you. And it's called distinguishing of spirits, the message or the word of knowledge, and the message or the word of wisdom. And then the power gifts, that's supernatural faith, gifts of healing, and working of miracles. All of those are the spiritual gifts that we're talking about in this particular teaching. The Bible tells us that they all are the work of one and the same Spirit. They're not a work of the flesh. It has nothing to do with my talent or my ability. It has everything to do with my yielding to the Holy Spirit so that He can flow through me, because He's the one doing the work. Amen? And so He allows us to be used in that way, but also in a way where He gets the glory. And if we ever start trying to take the glory for any of these gifts that God uses to flow through us, if we ever start doing that, I mean, I know people who will build their ministry and build they after money and whatever else, because they have a gift that they've learned how to operate in, and they will allow their character to get tainted because they begin to touch that and take the glory for it. All right, so we never want to do that. All right, so I said a couple of weeks ago, people are always trying to tag me and say that I've heard this so many times over the years, Pastor Dwayne, you have the gift of healing. And I always say, we all have the gift of healing available for us to operate in. It doesn't belong to me. I don't have the gift of healing. It's the Holy Spirit's gift. I just have learned how to yield to it and allow that to flow in my life. And I've done my very best to help people in this church learn how to do the same. So one thing that we see often are those power gifts at work in this church. We don't always see a lot of these other gifts at work, but I believe the Lord's going to begin to open that up to a greater degree. So we started by looking at the speaking gifts, and the first one we looked at was prophecy, and we really didn't finish going through the one about prophecy, but prophecy is a strong word of the Spirit to the church. There's no tongue involved. And when I say that there's no like a different language like tongues, that's not involved. It's simply going to be in the language of the people that it's being spoken to, but it is a message from heaven. It's not just preaching the gospel. It is a direct message from heaven, from the heart of God to the people. We do have that operating in this church from time to time. It's not always, but it does happen from time to time. And it's a wonderful gift. And so Sunday morning, Miss D had that was a prophetic word that God gave her to speak over this church. And I can tell you, I know that was from the Spirit of God. Well, that was an example of a prophetic word, okay? And so Sometimes we said it's a word that has to do with a future event, like God literally will put a specific time, like the guy that spoke over me and told me in 6 months something's going to happen in your life that's going to change your life forever. 6 months later to the day is the day I met Pastor Cindy, and my life was definitely changed forever, all right? So there is still that kind of future part to that where God can speak something about your future that God sees and wants to show you in advance. That may not happen a whole lot, but it does happen. So again, there's another part of that, and that it's sometimes it's just a word of confirmation. God spoke something to your heart, and God confirms it. Like when the Lord was moving us to Oklahoma, I talked about that and how through a lady that we never met in our life, she didn't know our names, we didn't know them. Somebody just invited us to this meeting, this preacher and his wife, and she, at the end of that meeting, began to speak a prophetic word over us, and that prophetic word was confirmation of what God had told us, because you don't do anything because somebody gave you a prophetic word, especially if it's a word to go do something or to go move somewhere or whatever. You better get confirmation. So God was already, telling us, speaking it to us, but we needed confirmation, and he uses someone who does not even know us to give us very specific answers to this very specific three prayers that we were praying. And then she actually prophesied. There was the element of future in this as well, because she actually prophesied to me and said, within 2 years, you will be the senior pastor of a church. And that was not my intention at all. And we were going to serve in a church at that time. What that word was about was going to Oklahoma to serve as, youth pastor, kind of associate pastor. And she said that I would be pastoring a church. And I really thought she missed it. I thought, no way, no way. First off, I don't want to. And second of all, that's just absolutely impossible. And so, again, sometimes that's the thing. Then another times, that prophetic word is a correction. It's a corrective word. It's a warning. Thank God for people who are willing to give those warnings when they're needed that are coming from God, right? Sometimes it's a warning that you need to correct this, because sometimes there's even a time period put on it, but you need to correct this because this may be your last opportunity. And so thank God for those prophetic words. We better not ignore those words. I have had a couple of times when I had to deliver that kind of word to people, and I never like to. But I want to tell you, when God gives a warning and people don't heed that warning, if it's from the Spirit of God, they're really putting themselves in a mess. And I've had two or three people that have literally died because they absolutely refused to repent and get it right when God exposed what was going on in them. And so, again, I don't like that. And it wasn't God that killed them. It was a warning that their decisions are going to kill them. So it can also be a word of encouragement. And I believe that in the modern day, today, most prophecy is a word of encouragement to people. And man, look, we all love that word of encouragement, right? I had somebody tell me a word a couple of days ago in a meeting with some other pastors and ministers. And there was a lady in there that God literally, God raised her up. She was on her deathbed. And God raised this lady up, and boy, she was just all fired up Tuesday. She came in, and she just had some words and wanted to pray for people. But she looked at me and she said, "Pastor Dwayne, I just want you to know, I don't say stuff like this all the time, but I want you to know, God says finances are about to pour into your church because y'all have been faithful. You've been faithful with it. You've been faithful." So anyway, so in order for it to pour into this church, it's got to pour into you. Amen. So now don't start worshiping money, but be ready to receive. So there, let me just give you this. When we're talking about prophecy, let me give you a little guide for prophecy. Number one, always, it must line up with the Word of God. It must. It generally is a word that confirms something that God is already doing. It must line up with the Word of God. And if it's something that does not, like God, no matter if somebody calls himself a prophet or not, or says they're prophesying, if it's not something that lines up with God's word, especially on the basis of morals, then you can just reject that word. Amen? So there are false prophecies and false prophets out there. So there are other gifts that we're going to talk about, one of those being discerning of spirits that helps you to wade through those, what's false and what's coming from God, all right? So a word on personal prophecies. When somebody gives you a personal prophecy, and there's nothing wrong with that, and I love it. One of the things that we've tried to do is set some parameters here, that, and we'll talk a little more about those. But when somebody says, I believe I have a word for you, then there are some parameters that need to be in place for that, for everybody's protection, all right? So there must be guards. And here's a question. What is the credible history of this person being used in prophecy? If somebody comes to you and they say, I believe I have a word from God for you. First off, don't just swallow that just because they say it's from God. I've had a lot of people try to give a word from God to me that I knew wasn't the Lord. Sometimes it's just a superheated emotion. Sometimes it's just, you know, I don't know. But sometimes people actually will try to manipulate with stuff like that, right? I had a guy try to tell me one day that we were going to strike oil on our land. But he was a guy who was wanting to come preach at the church, right? So he's throwing out these words. And the Lord warned me, nope, don't even let him get behind the pulpit. That's right. And then I found out later the guy was adulterous and all kinds of stuff. So anyway, so what credible history of this person? Doesn't mean a person has to be perfect, but has God used them in this gifting? And if that is the case, what is kind of the background of that? Do they have legitimate spiritual authority is another one. Do they have legitimate spiritual authority in their life? You want to know who's their pastor, right? If we have somebody that just walks through these doors and they're not submitted to this ministry and they're not submitted to any other ministry that would be credible ministry and they want to start prophesying over you, you need to ask them, who's your pastor? Because if they're not under any kind of authority, any kind of a spiritual covering, they're probably rogue. They're probably, as we're talking about on Sunday, they're probably more of a goat than anything. The next one is, if it is within the church meeting, like tonight, have they been authorized by the legitimate authority or pastor to give personal prophecies? Just simply ask them. Now, that doesn't mean that people have to come and ask our permission, can I give prophetic words in the church? But things should be done decently and in order. And so ask them about that. And if they have no idea whether or not they've been authorized or not, then it's a good idea to say, well, before you give me this word, let's go run it through the pastors or, you know, leadership that's authorized, all right? The person given the prophecy, if they are not your pastor, should encourage you to have it judged like the Bible says by a trusted leader or pastor. The Bible literally says to have prophetic words judged. Now, I've seen over the years that when someone goes to prophesy to someone else, and we tried to train people to do this, like I'm doing tonight, it might be a good idea to say, well, I'll tell you what, I'd love to hear that word, but let's go and get with the pastor so that it can be judged. And if that is not possible, then at least let them know, well, okay, that's fine, but I'm going to bring this before the pastors because the Bible says that every prophetic word needs to be judged. So I'm going to bring it to their attention. And what will happen is sometimes they'll just back off if they don't really, if their intentions are not good. Now, I want to tell you, because we want to encourage the gifts of the Spirit to operate in you, we don't want to discourage it. And we do understand that a person well-meaning could maybe miss it a little bit. But you know what? I'll take that. I'll take that over not ever stepping out at all. So one of the reasons that it needs to be judged is so that, you know, I've seen people give prophetic words that were partially right on, and then other times they let their emotion get in it, right? And so that's one of the reasons why those words need to be judged. So we're not just trying to lay down a bunch of rules, and I don't want to discourage anybody from operating the gifts of the Spirit. I want you to. And if you're outside of the meeting and maybe God gives you a prophetic word for somebody in the grocery store or whatever, encourage them. If they have a pastor, encourage them to take this to their pastor and see what they think. If they don't have a pastor, invite them to church. So God can use those kind of things in a very powerful way. So personal prophecies, by the way, should never take the place of consistent spiritual growth through personal Bible study and prayer and activity within the body of Christ. I know people who will literally traipse all over the country chasing a prophet, trying to get that prophet to prophesy to him. Lord, give me a word. Give me a word. They want everybody, just want somebody to give them a word. Well, here's a word. Here's your word. Get in your Bible and see what God has to say to you, right? You don't chase that stuff. God can get it to you, right? And he can get you in the right place or bring people to you if you need that. But you don't chase this stuff, all right? That gets way out of balance. Read your Bible, spend time with the Lord, and be active in the body of Christ. And what will happen is God will make sure that you get what you need in this area. Second one is tongues. You know, this is a very misunderstood by a lot of people. And people that have been with us a long time are going to understand this, but this is not your prayer language. You're going to hear people praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, praising in tongues, because the Bible says to, in the context of a church service. You're going to hear that, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but the prayer language type of tongues, like I encourage people to do earlier, has a very different meaning than the kind of tongues we're talking about here that's part of the nine spiritual gifts. A lot of people don't realize there's a difference. So this is not your prayer language. This is a message for the church in another language which the speaker does not know, which requires interpretation. So literally, God is using a gift, this gift of tongues. What it does is, I believe, it gets the attention of people. And then there's another gift that we'll talk about, the interpretation of tongues, and those two go together. I'll tell you, Pastor Cindy, if you know her testimony, you know, she had someone who was ministering to her. She worked at a car dealership, and Pastor Tommy Falk, he was a youth pastor at the time, was working there, and he was the body shop manager. And Pastor Cindy was pretty much agnostic at that time, and she had a Monsignor, I won't say his name, but a Catholic Monsignor who told her, well, you know, you can't really trust the Bible. It's got 2,000 mistakes in it. And she thought, how hypocritical that you would even use a book you don't believe in, right? So she just decided she's going to shut this Christian up at work, and she's going to get a Bible, and she's going to read that Bible, and she's going to find all them mistakes that that Monsignor told her about, and she is going to go and bring those mistakes to that Christian, and she's going to shut him up. But instead, every time she would bring something to him, he had the answer over and over again. Now hear me, this man had only been saved 4 years at the time, but he had devoured that Bible. And so he dug in, and so he had the answers. And so as a result of that, he began to be able to have great spiritual influence in her life, and she'd go with question after question. And he would always have the answer. Well, he invited her to come to a service that they were having in Abbeville at the church where he was. And it was a real revival atmosphere. And in that service, someone began to give a message in tongues, the kind of message we're talking about, where it's a message from heaven to earth. Remember, the prayer language is a message from earth to heaven. It's praise to God. And sometimes it's intercession that's happening in that prayer language from us to God. It's nobody's business what's being said. It's for God's ears only. But this kind of tongues is from heaven to earth. It's supposed to be understood. And if somebody's talking Chinese and we don't know Chinese, we need somebody to interpret that to know what's being said. And I can give you example after example how God has used that over the years. But when this guy begins to speak this message in tongues, before the interpretation even came, she just knew this was the Holy Spirit. And it so touched her, all she could do was fall on her knees and begin to cry and ask the Lord to save her. And so that's when the turnaround happened in her life. All right. And it was how God somehow used this gift. And then what happens is, like, just like with prophecy, there's a word delivered. When that tongues is being spoken and everybody knows, they don't know that language. I was told one time I was speaking Spanish. I didn't know Spanish. I know people have spoken all kinds of different languages that they did not know. And someone that would be in that congregation would know that language. and tell them you were speaking such and such a language. You were speaking my language. I remember when we were in college, we had a young lady who had, she knew like six different languages, and she was from India. And she had been told that tongues is of the devil. And she had been going to a particular denomination, a Bible college in Mexico, of a particular denomination that doesn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And so she just gets to the Bible college, to IBC, where we are, and we're in a chapel service, and a little Hispanic guy stands up. He knows Spanish, and he knows English a little bit, right? He knows it, and he could speak it. He communicated it to, but he would speak it with a, you know, Hispanic accent, real strong Hispanic accent. And so he stands up and begins to speak in tongues, and then someone else interprets it. And this young lady is blown away because the language that this little Hispanic guy was speaking fluently was a language that only a few hundred people in the world know. And it's one little area in India, and it's a particular Hindi dialect that only a few hundred people in the world know. And this little Hispanic guy in the chapel at IBC in San Antonio is speaking it fluently, and then someone else who doesn't know the language perfectly interprets it. But she knew what was being said before it even got interpreted, and it was God speaking directly to her, which absolutely changed her way of thinking, right? So again, it's important to know the distinction again between the prayer language and this particular gift. This is a tongue that is, it's corporate. There must be a proper interpretation given. So when Paul says, if there's no interpreter, he talks about this in 1 Corinthians, if there's no interpreter, he says, speak to yourself and to God, but don't interrupt, basically saying don't interrupt the service, right? So there are times when it's proper and we can pray in tongues, praise in tongues. The Bible says sing with the understanding and sing in the Spirit. Pray with the understanding and pray in the Spirit in the context of a church service. So those things are legitimate. But when it comes to this other kind of tongues, that's God speaking, he's saying that if there's no interpretation, then don't do it. But then he also turns around and says, you be ready to interpret it. If you can believe God for the gift of tongues to work through you, believe for the interpretation as well. Right? Now, by the way, there are those that believe that each person can only function in one gift. Well, if that were the case, why would Paul tell someone who's speaking in tongues that they also have to function in the other gift as well of interpretation if you're only limited to one? Right? So, again, tongues is from the prayer language is from earth to heaven, but this kind of tongues is from heaven to earth. And speaking in tongues in your prayer language, by the way, the Bible tells us is personally edifying. It builds you up. In fact, Jude says, building yourself up in your most holy faith, right? And I want to tell you, I tell people this often, I pray in tongues more than I pray in English. Because in English, I got my head involved and I can mess it up. When I'm praying in tongues, it's the Holy Spirit interceding through me, and I'm praying the perfect will of God, right? Because he's going to always pray the perfect will of God. So that's one of the reasons it's such a powerful gift, and we want everybody to have that. And it is available to everybody, this prayer language of tongues. But this gift right here also is very powerful because, again, it gets your attention, and sometimes God actually uses it to speak to another person who knows that language and then proves it out with an interpretation. And so it will really get your attention, all right? The guidelines are found in chapter 14 on how those gifts operate. And again, if someone speaks out in tongues without interpretation given, it's not going to profit the church. But if someone is used in tongues, they, again, have to be open for the Spirit to flow into their lives with interpretation. Praying in your personal tongue should be in private or in corporate worship, again, in a way that is not disruptive. And when you're in an atmosphere like this church, where we understand it and we flow in it, you praying or singing in tongues is not going to be disruptive in this service. Now, if I were to stand up here or you're having a conversation with someone personally. And this was happening in the Corinthian church. This is why Paul had to correct it. But they were all so impressed with themselves and the spiritual gifting that was operating in this church. And all of the gifts of the Spirit were operating in this church of Corinth. But they had some immaturity issues. And so they would all come in and they're all trying to speak in tongues to each other. Right? I mean, they were proud of themselves. And that'd be like me just standing up and just going through the whole service and doing nothing but speaking in tongues. Or you trying to have a conversation with someone else and just speaking in tongues. And then go, boy, the Lord used me that time. I'll tell you what. So that's what Paul's dealing with by putting restrictions there. But it's speaking to yourself and to God means you hold it down and understand, don't misunderstand the way the gifts work. In 1 Corinthians 14, 27 and 28, it says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. So it doesn't say they shouldn't speak. He's just saying don't be disruptive, all right? And he's putting some order there in that church because, again, that's all they wanted to do. Well, how many of you know that there are different elements of church that are vitally important in that church service? And one of those is somebody needs to teach the Word of God, right? So there are times, we've had it in our service, where there were times when there wasn't even an opportunity to maybe preach a specific message because the Lord's preaching his own message and he's doing what he's got to do within a service. And there have been times when there's just a move of the Spirit where God is moving on people and maybe deep repentance begins to take place or God is touching people in a powerful way. And, you know, so an actual planned preach message does not happen. Well, that's okay, right? But that's not the norm because people have to be taught, all right? So then there's, as we talked about, the interpretation of tongues after the message in tongues, and this is third speaking gift, after the message in tongues is given, the English or the language of the people present is given the interpretation so that all will understand the message from God. So I will tell you that we do have prophetic words many times, but it's very, very rare that we'll have the tongues and interpretation happen in service. Now, it used to not be that way, but I think what it is as people come in and they don't really understand these things and how they work, and people are a little bit timid about it. But I will tell you, again, it's a beautiful gift, and it is for us today, both tongues and interpretation. Now, what you can do also to help you understand, tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy, right? The tongues and interpretation, it actually is like prophecy is just coming at you in a different way. Okay, so that's the speaking gifts. Let's get started on the knowing gifts. These are very powerful gifts. These are generally operational many times in maybe an altar service when people are praying for people or maybe even while you're praying for each other in the service, as you know, the Holy Spirit directs us to do sometimes. But it's not limited to a church service, all right? The message or the word of knowledge is the first one we're going to talk about. It is a knowledge that comes from God that you could not have known. This is a gift of the Spirit that helps reveal through a divine way the power of God. This can also be a confirming word, by the way. When someone's going through a present situation and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, reveals to someone else to go and to offer a word of encouragement or comfort in that situation, and there's no way that person could have known what you were going through. Anybody ever had that happen? Right? There's a term we use, I grew up hearing, that you get in your mail read. So this sometimes can be a warning. Very close. It's not the same as a prophetic word, but it's very close. It can be a warning of something upcoming or a revelation of something that has already taken place. I have seen this gift operate in a way that maybe, you know, as someone's flowing in this gift, God will show somebody something that happened in a person's life. It could have been years ago, and there's no way they could have known that. But God reveals that knowledge to them, not to tattletale or anything like that, but to be able to minister to that issue that's become a deep-seated thing, and God brings deliverance. We have, in some instances, again, it can be a revelation of a particular area of a person's life. We have an example of Jesus being used with this gift. Now, remember, I've taught this before, but let me reestablish it. When Jesus came to this earth, we know that Jesus was 100% God, and he was 100% man. But The Bible tells us in Philippians that he left his glory in heaven. So when he came to this earth, Jesus had to operate as a man. Although he was God, he limited himself, because the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted at all points, yet without sin. Right? Remember that? But the same Bible also tells us that God doesn't tempt, neither can he be tempted. Right? So when Jesus is on this earth, he's functioning completely in his humanity, although he was God, and had Jesus in a moment could have put his Godhood back on and function as God. But God can't die, and Jesus had to die. So Jesus, when he comes to this earth, he's operating as a man. But on that day when he was baptized, and by the way, you don't have to baptize God, but Jesus said, I must be baptized, and could not even begin his ministry until he was baptized by the legitimate authority that God had set on the earth, John the Baptist, right? But when that happened and Jesus submitted himself to his own delegated authority that he had put on this earth, the Holy Spirit came. And that's the first time. You don't see Jesus doing a miracle until that. Everything else he did it because he had a relationship with the Father. He talked to the Father. He heard from the Father. He did what he was supposed to do. He learned the Word of God. He learned the prophecies. He learned the Old Testament. And at 12 years old, he's teaching people, right? But that wasn't because of a supernatural gift. That was because he applied himself. Right? But then once he's baptized and the Father speaks and the Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove, now you see immediately from there, he starts doing two things. He starts preaching, repent, right? For the kingdom of God has come. And he starts doing miracles. He did not do the first miracle until he himself was filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself had to be filled with the Holy Spirit just like us. Now, there are people who would absolutely disagree with that and say, no, that's heretical. He was God. Yes, he was. But he limited himself to his humanity on this earth so that he could experience what we experience, so that he could know our pain and our suffering, that he could know temptation, right? So then Jesus has the gifts of the Spirit operating in him. And this is one that we see in John chapter 4, verse 15 through 18. This is word of knowledge operating. It says, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. And he told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. And Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. In fact, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Now, Jesus, this is the first time he ever met this woman. This is a Samaritan woman, not Jewish. Jewish people didn't even go hang out around there, right? And so Jesus gets her attention. How? This gift of the Spirit called the word of knowledge, or the message of knowledge. Supernatural knowledge from the Holy Spirit that he gives you about a person's life for the sake of not exposing them, but for the sake of ministering to them. And it works so powerfully that the Bible says in verse 28 through 29 of John 4, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Right? What a powerful gift. When God uses you in those kind of gifts, I want to tell you, it's going to make an impact on somebody. When you're telling them something about themselves, there is no way you could have known. Now, I have seen, of course, as we said earlier, charlatans and people who use parlor tricks and everything else to try to manufacture this gift, like they're claiming that it's a spiritual gift when all they're really doing is doing research on a person. And I've seen people, unfortunately, people who are supposed to be, you know, prophesying over people in churches, and they're getting big offerings because they're so gifted, and then end up getting busted because they got an earpiece in their ear or they got something else going on. They get caught, right? So there are false prophets out there. We're warned about them, right? But it doesn't make the gift wrong. All right, we'll just go there. The gift is still good. It's still a good gift, and it works very powerfully. I have seen that gift operate in my life. I have been the recipient of that gift as people spoke into my life, very powerful things that that God used and revealed things. Let me give you another way that worked. And I know Shane will remember this for sure, because there was a young man that came with Shane to church one day. And some of the way when God gives me words of wisdom or words of knowledge, not words of wisdom, many times it's in pictures. I don't know why. And for a season there, it was almost always in pictures. God would give me a picture, and that picture, it was like a word picture, and that picture had something to do with their life. And so one night, I think it was on a Wednesday night, it might have been a Sunday, I don't know, but I'm preaching, I'm teaching, I think I was either in the middle of a message, I just know we were in the middle of the service, and God kept speaking to me. He kept showing me this picture of a tractor tire and with flowers planted in the tractor tire, and I think it was gardenias, right? When the gardenias, and I keep seeing this over and over again, and God points out this guy to me sitting right over here who I've never seen before, and tells me, tell him what you see. And I'm like, I ain't telling him. I see a tractor tire with flowers planted. It ain't gonna happen. And the reason I'm saying that is because I think it's my own mind. I don't realize at the moment that it's God, right? And so, but it continues. And God told me it was at least three times where, and it just kind of kept getting more and more intense. And he said, tell him what you see. So I finally did. Stopped and I asked him, I said, could you come up here? So he comes and I said, Have I ever met you before? He said, no. I said, I don't even know your name. Have you ever met me before? No. I said, well, this might sound crazy, but I got to tell you what I'm seeing. And God told me to tell you what I'm seeing. And I told him about it, the tractor tire. And if I remember right, I think it was painted too. I'm not absolutely sure on that. But I told him about the tractor tire and those gardenias in that tractor tire. And literally, I never seen anything like this. He literally just fell on the floor. He fell on the floor in a fetal position and began to cry like a baby. And I have no idea what's going on. I have no idea why. I didn't have the meaning of it. I just had the picture. But that's all God needed, right? And come to find out, his father had just died 3 days before. So his heart's tender, but his heart is broken for his mother. And so he doesn't have a lot of money, but he wants to do something for her to bless her. And she loved gardenias. So he got a tractor tire. I don't know if he had it already or what, but he got that tractor tire and he went and put it by her driveway. And in this area, that's not uncommon to see that, but he put that tractor tire by her driveway and he planted those gardenias in that tire. Now, this is a man who didn't know God. He'd never been to this church before. Didn't know us, and God reveals something that only God could have revealed, and it broke him. And he said, it was just God saying to me, I see you. I see you. You know, those gifts are powerful, and that's why I say I feel sorry for people who reject the gifts that God has given his church and say that they're not for us anymore, right? So that's one way. I see there, my voice is clearing up now, stinking devil, tell you what. So number two is the message or the word of wisdom. This gift, and we'll just get started with it and we'll finish it next week, but this gift actually goes with many times working in conjunction with the word of knowledge. Now, I'll tell you that all of the gifts many times work in conjunction with each other, all right? Sometimes, I mean, I've been in services where you got four or five gifts operating at the same time to get something done, all right? So this is generally, it would be similar to knowledge, but this would be many times a revelation of what to do next. So, you know, a door that will be coming open, a temptation that's approaching, or spiritual wisdom from the Spirit on how to handle a situation. It's kind of future. It has to do with future. So here's another example. God gives you a word of knowledge, but then the word of wisdom begins to activate to tell you what to do with that word of knowledge. So, for example, there are times when, like, the Lord will give me a word of knowledge. It doesn't happen all the time. There are seasons where it's very frequent, then other seasons where it's not, where God will give me specific words of knowledge. For whatever reason, it flows with the gift of healing with me, and it'll be a specific body part. There was one time when this was working so powerfully in me, I haven't seen this in a long time, where I could just, for a season, I could look at someone and it was almost like a almost like an x-ray scan. And I could literally see in their body, I could see things in their body. I could see cancer, or I could see tumors, or I could see something broken in their skeletal system or whatever. It was the freakiest thing ever, because I could see it and I would ask them about it. And they'd say, yeah, how'd you know that? Well, the Holy Spirit knows, right? Don't ask me why it worked like that. And that hasn't happened like that with me in a long time, but it did in a season. It was like that. So, but sometimes God will give me that word of knowledge, but then it's like, okay, so now what do you want me to do with this? And so sometimes it may be in a church service, it may be, look, everybody, you know, if you're around them, go lay hands on them. Sometimes it's come to the altar. Sometimes it's just right where you are. Lay your hands on yourself. You know, whatever it is, all right? So the word of wisdom, it has to do with obeying God on what to do with the word of knowledge, all right? So again, it's typically future-oriented as well. This wisdom can be backward. It could be for, or it could reach backward, or it could be for something present or for future use, but many times it has to do with what to do for the future. What's the next steps kind of thing. Now, some people teach this as worldly wisdom. It's just, well, it just means God's given you great wisdom. I have the gift of the word of wisdom. God has given me great wisdom. You also have the gift of pride, too, probably, if you're saying stuff like that. So again, it's not that. It has nothing to do with worldly wisdom. It has to do with God's heavenly wisdom being spoken to you on what to do, all right? So that's all the time we have. So we're going to jump back on the word of wisdom gift next week. And we'll get as far as we can on this teaching. But I know, again, for some of you, you've heard this kind of teaching before, but I really felt the need to refresh this. And let's encourage it and ask the Lord, as we said a couple of weeks ago, ask the Lord to use you in these gifts. Just humble yourself. Just yield yourself. Lord, I don't belong to me. I belong to you. So if you want to flow through me, I'm just an old pipe. I'm going to just open my life up to you and let you flow through me. Amen? And you don't have to reach perfection in order for God to use you in this way. Because if you did, none of us would ever be able to be used. Father, I thank you for every person here tonight. Lord, you put this on my heart to teach, because you want to flow through your people. Father, we are a Spirit-filled church, and we want to be open to whatever your Spirit wants, Father. Lord, I pray that no one, that the spirit of confusion or fear would not have any kind of reign in the lives of anyone hearing my voice. Lord, whether it's in a church service or whether it's out of the church service, Lord, as you move on people to operate in these gifts, Lord, I pray that there would be a boldness from the Holy Spirit that also comes with it. Lord, I'm not talking about being brash. I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm just saying a boldness in the Holy Spirit to obey you. And Lord, if there's anyone here who's not been filled, not been baptized with the Holy Spirit, maybe they don't have the praying in tongues yet happening in their life, I pray, fill them. And I want to encourage you, if that's not the case, if you haven't received that yet, just receive it now. Just say, God, I receive it. Fill me. Lord, I pray, fill them, baptize them in your Holy Spirit, saturate them in your Holy Spirit, oh God. Lord, and I pray that gift of being able to pray in tongues, Lord, would arise in them, rise up out of their belly, rise up in them, Lord. As they loose their tongue, Father, I thank you, Father, that you will use that tongue. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, fill your people. May not one person in this church be left without being baptized with the Holy Spirit, oh God. Thank you for your incredible Holy Spirit. Thank you for your work in and through us. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Lord, use your people this week for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.